Blog Talk Radio.
Breathe into me.
praise the Lord, you have our Wednesday ministry opportunity where we are presenting Let's Chat Over Coffee and Kingdom Culture. We meet every Wednesday in the upper level of Bethany Union Church, 1750 West 103rd Street in Chicago, Illinois. Classes start at 6:30 with prayer and worship, and then we proceed to the topic of the evening. We encourage you to join us at the physical location. Also, sure you submit your topics for discussion, things that may come up in our Christian journey that are trend setting and new insight into things, new situations that have never happened before. We have such a world that's evolving and changing, and how do we navigate through it biblically? How do we look at the events in news, those things concerning the government and our community? What should our action be? What should the position of the church be regarding these conditions? How will God use us to be instruments of change as the world is changing? The technology that we have makes opportunities for good as well as, and how do we monitor, how do we navigate through these different socially acceptable what do they even call them now, actually, socially acceptable patterns and practices that are now becoming more and more pervasive. And so it's the desire of Visionary for the House to bring us together so that we can put our concerns and our thoughts out and get a strategy for the kingdom culture. What should we now look like? And so we're glad that you have joined us today. We would like to remind you of some upcoming ministry opportunities that will help us prepare for this 21st century world. CCT is back with two tracks. One focusing on the apostolic environment and one focusing on the prophetic world. And so we have a power team of the Apostle Dr. Shannon Harden and Ambassadorial Prophet Michael Henderson presenting on Monday evenings, one night a week, Monday only. Our Unit 1 begins on January 28th. And it goes through March 11th, the construction of an apostolic leadership, and the construction part one and part two, and the Academy of Prophetic Builders, Monday, Prophetic Dimension, and the Voice Behind the Prophet. Those are the things that will be presented at CCT this year, 2019, and the last hour of the meeting, the two will come together to facilitate Access Denied, the private life of the apostolic and prophetic grace and gift. So we encourage you to register. First-time student application register fee is $50, time and non-refundable. and books and materials are at an additional cost that will be shared when you come in on the first meeting. It is a 6-week course, and it's $30 per seminar, not per seminar. So we encourage you to register, register, register. How can you register? By emailing Sherita, that's Sherita, @yahoo.com. Again, that is Sherita_Tate@yahoo.com. The classes will be held on the upper level of Bethany Union Church. And the time for classes is 6:30 through 9 o'clock. So we encourage you to register, bring your pen, paper, and an open heart, and get ready to know and grow. Serving the kingdom in excellence is our heart desire. And so we thank you for your participation. We thank you for your partnering with us in this School of Christian Counseling. And then we ask that you remember the bereaved family. There are those in the ministry and ministry partners who has loved ones. We pray that you will keep them lifted up in prayer. We thank you for your heart and for your tongue. You're welcome to join us in our worship services that are held on Sunday. We are entering a new season and a new time, and so we encourage you to stay in contact. 773-779-2900. We're currently meeting at 10:30 at the upper level of Bethany Union Church, but our time is going to fluctuate as we embark on different venues. And so, every fourth Sunday this month and fourth Sunday in February, we will be meeting at 4 o'clock in the lower level of Bethany Union Church. So we encourage you to keep in touch with the ministry growing and going and expanding its scope and getting a facelift this year, doing some new things in the kingdom, in our worship. So don't miss out on these ministry opportunities available to all and the hearing and sharing with you. We will currently join that class. As I say, they're in prayer and worship, and we shall be as well. If you want to dialogue, you are on speaker. Put your phone on mute unless you desire to share, and then take your phone off mute, and we would love to hear from you. Remember, there is a delay of about 2 or 3 seconds delay, but you will be recognized, and you are encouraged to definitely dialogue. Amen. Amen.
Give me you. Everything else can wait. Give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, Lord, give me you. I hope I'm not too late. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. Lord, give me you. 'Cause it's me.
wisdom. You shall not know any kind of flesh or the Lord. On you, I am the Lord. What do you say for the individual that says their tattoos is not for the dead? What do we say? Because that's what the scripture says. You should not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. So is it a separation? Boom. That's carving flesh for your dead, nor tattoo any mark on you. I am the Lord. So what do you say for individuals that says, okay, that's what the scripture says, but my cuttings, my tattoos is not for the dead?
Oh, like remember grandma or something, rest in peace or something.
Yes. But they don't do it for that. They're doing it for life. I'm a psalmist. I don't know. Huh?
I'm a platinum
on. Right.
I forgot my name and my date of birth.
And you want it on your neck.
Identification purposes. So that word have I written on my heart.
I know, that's right. So we have one, absolutely, positively no in the room. Two no's.
Because I just take that scripture little, you know, and so that's kind of what I'm saying about.
And so in that same Leviticus, he also talked about don't eat swine. So what are we going to do about that?
He blessed it in the New Testament.
So he only blessed food, but not tattoos.
If he didn't mention them pets,
it's literal. Huh? What do we say, Minister Pat? What do you say? What's your thoughts behind it?
I don't do it, but not that. I would love to have one.
What did we have a whole culture now of prophetic interpretation of tattoos? People are taking tattoos and are doing interpretation, almost like a prophetic interpretation. This tattoo means that, da da da, and giving people a whole explanation. What do we say to that? Justifying it.
Would that be like trying to read their palm? Mm.
Okay, reading their palms.
I mean, would it be equivalent to that?
That's the question.
If the body is the temple, right? If the body is the temple, you know, do you have a right to change the temple by graffiti on the temple?
So is it limited to graffiti? What about booze jobs and nose jobs?
We're talking about tattoos.
Well, I'm saying, so overseer says, you know, that's you changing the temple. So what about
piercing your ear?
Dyeing
your hair.
Adding.
And I think in all of it, one thing, it may be forbidden in the Old Testament, but I think when we get in the New Testament, which there are a whole lot more commandments in the New than it is in the Old, why are you doing? Not so much what you do, why? What is your motive for doing it? And if everything we're doing is to bring glory to God, because that's supposed to be our focus, then is that what it will do? Or will it bring attention to us?
That was a question that overseer put out on the table. So we have a lot of thoughts about it, but no conversation.
No, because you know, bypass her question, but because it says nor tattoo any mark, you know, and you were saying it was just for the flesh. And so when I take the any mark part of it, you know, it, are you saying any marks towards the dead or any marks? You know, and that's pretty much where my premise was that he was saying not even towards the dead or any marks. Don't put any marks on you. And so that's how I was looking at it when I look at tattoos and saying, you know, that it's a no. And so, again, that's my understanding. He said no tattoos or any marks. Don't do it towards the dead. Because there are a lot of people who put tattoos with, you know, for somebody that loves them.
Just the motive, that's a game changer too, because, you know, yeah, there are times when I look in the mirror and be like, man, this is good on me. It has nothing to do with Jesus and him being glorified in through me. It's just with my vanity. I'm sorry, I was telling the truth.
Amen. I think it's just like for dyeing your hair. You know, why are you dying? God gave you black hair. You don't like it? You know, so are we really making a statement to him that we want to change what he's done for us? Or we get gray hair, you know, I don't want to look old. Okay. But if he gave you gray hair, he did say that you can't change the color. Yeah, you really can't. You can cover it up, but you can't change it. So the very fact that you want to cover it up, what statement are we really making to God? Not to man and not to one another, but what are we saying to God?
So what are we saying about that too? how do we just think that, you know, it, because you can read the Bible literally, right? Read it figuratively. You also have to read it within its historical context, because not everything that was meant then, everything that's meant then is applicable to now. So how do we read it from a distinctive perspective? Because you can also look at it when it was written in Leviticus, it was written to a direct group of people. And it was God establishing Israel differently from everyone else. Because he understood in Canaanite, when they get into the promised land over in the Canaanites, that's what they did. Evidenced by 1 Kings 18 and 28, when Elijah was up there and they was cutting themselves. So, you know, and then also if you look at in Egypt, piercing and marking was also a sign of fertility. So how do we look at it from the perspective that God was always trying to make Israel distinct from where they came and also where they're going? And so then you draw that all the way from, that's why they couldn't eat certain things. That's why they couldn't wear certain things. That's why they couldn't take certain ways, you know. And so he was always making them distinct so that he can identify them as a chosen people, separated, called out. And technically, if New Testament is applicable to kingdom, it don't say nothing about tattoos. So should you think before you ink? Yes, but is it wrong?
And peculiar people and called out.
Okay.
As a people as well, and so you know, be in the world but not of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, everything, it goes back to the principle. Everything that other people are doing, what has God told you? Have you sought the Lord to find out if that's applicable for you?
I agree. So it sounds like God told everybody in this room no tattoo. except one over there, huh? It sounds like the sisters said they can't have tattoos.
Well, the one thing that happened when I had my first tattoo, I was in college, and I felt like it was bad, and I had soft stuff, over thinking, and shit forbid me to get tattoos, my nose pierced, all of that, and I did it anyway. But the thing was that when I got home, in school or whatever, and I was at a family gathering, you know, I could see the influence and the impact that I didn't even think I had when little kids look at me like, oh, what's that? I want that. So when I saw them, I was like, wow, I didn't really, you know, yeah, I was just thinking that, oh, I just did this for me. And I mean, it's a tattoo of my great grandmother's past. So I mean, it was something meaningful to me, not just, oh, you know, let me get a tramp stamp when I'm in over, you know, trying to see, you know, but I don't know. Yeah,
that's
what they call it. Okay. Yeah. And I'm talking about it too. Sure, come up and bend over your feet.
Okay,
cool. Yeah. So, but I don't know. I'm still not going to say what's right or wrong or whatever. I feel like in everything, you know, we just have to find our individual, most excellent decision making through with I don't know, seeing that impact that I had on them, if they wanted to do it just because they saw me with it, I was like, was that really the best decision, you know?
Okay, so what if somebody say then that is now become your evangelistic tool? Because First Corinthians says, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. You can use that for the glory. That's what the word says. So how, if her conviction is now, she can use that as an evangelistic tool, because that's who she is. It's her doorway to evangelize. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to encourage them to get a tattoo. Mm-hmm. It just now gives them a different view of a relationship with God, because all they know is the long dress God with blah, 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 and now they know that the God you serve, there is a God in Israel, your world, in your world, is real. Overseer?
Well,
I like
my,
it.
You know, no, my original thought, you know, even while she was speaking, was that how do we respond to people that do have them? There are artists, there are preachers, there are, you know, evangelists, there's all kinds of individuals that are, all their fingers got tattoos on them, and they everywhere. And then how do we respond to them? Do we feel, you know, do we feel that that's a negative thing and we condemn? You know, and so my first thought is, no, it is not our job to condemn, but rather the Holy Spirit will bring conviction. And so even if it's something that was done, and like I say, it's the whole scripture. He says he'll make all things work to the good of those that love him and are called. And so if you've done it and it's there, can he use it? Absolutely. Will he use it? Maybe. Okay, but the whole thing is us to surrender that to him and to give, you know, it's giving our heart to him to do whatever he wants to do. Obviously, if you got to, he don't want you to rip your skin. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to say he don't want you to rip your skin and make it off. But what is it he wants you to do? So many things in our life, we've already done. And I will say the damage, but, you know, whatever it was, even in a place where we didn't know. So are we condemned by that? No, because then we're told to be accepted, acceptance of accepting one another in love, correcting one another in love. And so when it happens and it's done, it's not something that, you know, we're to hold over someone's head in a negative way, because that's not scripture. You know, that's not what God, that's not how God tells us to respond to one another. And so I think it gives us, again, the precept of what's in the, what Christ did. He accepted everybody. You know, he did not make a difference between, you know, the woman at the well because of what she had done. He's still in love, bringing glory to God, and I believe that's where we're supposed to do. And if something offends someone, then we need to address that, however God would have us address. And he's given us the instructions. If we look at those commandments, I am telling you, it's in there. Okay, so it becomes our job to study, to show ourselves approved, so we don't have to be ashamed, because we can't give a good answer to, you know, to those things that even we've done. You know, maybe the answer is the answer of repentance. You know, an answer I won't say regret, but it's just an answer of repentance. I should not have done it. And God has forgiven me because he is a forgiving God. You know, so just the different ways that we walk and interact with every situation, circumstance, and practice that comes through the kingdom culture, you know, should be based on what Jesus did. So if he were to go into, I won't say attack, at parlor, just like when he went into church, it wasn't glorifying God. And what doesn't glorify God is our job to shine the light on them, on it, on the person, on the situation, and put truth in there that will honor God. And then strengthen, you know, those that may be watching and giving them an understanding of the heart of God that is compassionate and long-suffering and accepting, you know, no matter who you are. I think that's that come as you are. That's what that means. Okay, don't not come because you're tatted. No, you come as you are. He accepts you as you are. Okay, and so that inward is where he works at the outward. And that's that other thing where have we been the ones to, what do you want to call it, make it right, you know, because we've allowed our children to do it, to do certain things, to get certain things, and we didn't tell them no, which means we said yes. You know, no matter whether it's their dress or tats or piercings or whatever it is. And so even it is in that way, we have to look at Scripture to see what our how to proceed from where we are and be in alignment with the Word and the will of God.
All right, Revelations 19:16 in the King James Version says, "And he hath on a vesture, and on his thigh a name was written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." What do you say the individual said Jesus had a tattoo?
You know what I would say? That he's spirit. So we don't know what his thigh looked like, just like he wrote on our heart. Okay? So we got to take the whole scripture. And I've heard that. And so it really is, and I'm not saying that it's not written like with a pencil and a piece of paper. I don't know. You know. But I do know that other references to being written, he said he clearly indicates on many occasions what he's going to write in our heart. He said, write it on your eyelid. Did he mean literally get a pill? You couldn't, because your eyelids aren't big enough to write it all there. So what is it really communicating to us? You know, and so, yep, that is definite. And that's one of those things where you have to take it in the context, as you said earlier, Prophet. You know, what did that mean in that culture at that time? You know, exactly what did that mean? Did they have tattoos back then? They probably had, I don't know. But what did that kind of statement communicate to that culture, you know, so that we can get an understanding of why it was presented to us and we don't misappropriate it into an area that's familiar with us?
Oh. All right. Good conversation. Anybody else?
I think that the motive that's so positive, and that alone will carry a weight, you know, that'll help you make the decision that'll bring glory and honor to God when you're doing things. So, you know, going forward, now that you know better, you know, do that. Don't just do it because everybody else is doing it. Really, really see God and say, okay, what is it? You know, there were things that God had John the Baptist doing, nobody else was doing, and he was weird, you know what I'm saying? But God was speaking through him. Hosea, marrying a harlot, you know. So there are things that God may tell you to do that nobody will understand, and you can take it and use it for the glory and honor of God to be an evangelistic tool or whatever the case may be. But
Motive. I know we were talking about, you know, what was permissible in the culture, what was the culture like, and things like that, but because it's the culture, not limited to tattoos, does that still make it permissible?
So if it was the culture then that certain cultures, you know, certain African tribes, you know, branding with pledging, I mean, all of those different things, because that's the culture of the Greek community, you know, or that's the culture of this, you know, tribe or, the, you know, whatever it is. Does that then make it permissible? Every time we say, oh, but that was the culture, we have to look at it in the context of that culture, you know, does that make it permissible or not? And I know we're talking about tattoos, but even then that, because if we start making it what's permissible for each culture, then those exceptions.
Right. I mean, I guess, like, that's the part that I say, you know, as a kingdom, as a body, that I think we have to bring some balance to it, because we clearly would throw out the Leviticus and say tattoos, mark it, but then we say he blessed pork in the New Testament. You know what I mean? So then where do a people who are not a part, who, let's say, just immature, not sure, like, you know, I don't know what to think. You know what I'm saying? And even now, too, you look at what men wear now, you know, men are wearing long, our shirts come way past their knees, and people preach in a pulpit with them, and then they say, oh, that's African culture. It look like a dress to me. You know what I mean? And so where do we go with this apparel thing? And so I think that that's why we're having the conversation. It may not be a universal answer, right? Maybe. I don't know. That's a question. That's not a statement. Okay. It may not be a universal answer as a church, as a kingdom, but we definitely do it. I mean, we'll run and get some shrimp in a minute. We'll fry it, dish it, and can't wait to Red Lobster have a shrimp fest. Well, that's in the Bible, too. You know, so you want me to eat shrimp, but you don't want me to have no tattoo. Yeah.
And then going back to the apparel in the old days, they wore shirts that looked like, you know, dresses. So how can you distinguish what is good for this season and what's not good? And what is not good for this season, but it's good for the time of Christ. You know, they wore sandals and they went barefoot, you know. So now you can go barefoot in the church, some church would put you out. I've done that. But I think someone said it. I don't know who said it now, but it said, what has God placed in you, or the Holy Spirit has spoken to you? And whatever the Holy Spirit has spoken, you do that, not following the norm. You know, if he spoke to you to wear long dresses, then wear long dresses, and that would have been instilled in you as a child. If he spoke to no earrings and no lipstick, you know, nothing like that. All this is instilling you according to you what the Holy Spirit has spoken to you. So some people will not go out of the house without putting on the earrings or the lipstick. And then we have a tendency to choose what we're going to do.
Without earrings, Mama.
Else, you know. So if he said to walk streets of lambs here and wool. The bluebox of God is where you probably take ridicule and all that judgment. But if God spoke it into your heart to do that, then do it. Because you're going to be judged, not according to what the people think, but what God has spoken.
All right. Any closing remarks on tattoos, Apostle, Overseer, anybody else? She'll start next.
My husband wants me to get my nipples pierced, and we want to get matching tattoos.
Okay. So now that's perfect. That's like a phenomenal example. So does that phenomenal, okay, my husband wants me to get my nipples pierced, and we'll get matching tattoos. Does that work? Does that work? Is that allowed in kingdom culture?
It's permissible.
No, does that work in kingdom culture? So the king is who? So when God says yes, your husband wants your nipples pierced. Is what God, because it's his body and God's body. And God, he wants to give you permission to mutilate your body for sexual gratification.
But it's pleasing my husband.
Does that follow the kingdom principles and culture
that he has set up for a holy people. No.
No.
And so, I mean, so that's, I believe that's how we, I mean, I think that's a phenomenal example, and I believe that's how we have to look at it. He would, yes, that's how we have to look at it. We have to follow it to these common denominators. So God would say, yes, that works. So is God going to say yes? Would he say yes based off of his holiness and everything that you know, and not that you know about him, but everything that the word says about who he is? He says, be ye holy, for I'm holy. So why don't I get, like, holes all over my body? Because then I'll be holy. No, I mean, because we know that's not what he means, but I'm just saying, so we have to... We have this holy God. And so this holy God, based off of the word of God, this holy, righteous God. And then he puts all these vessels in the earth that look like us. We're just these. Based off of the word of God, I believe it would be very clear to come to mind where he stands. Not what we stand on the individual, not our own personal convictions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But where he stands. Everything we do has to speak to who he is, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're made in his image. So, will he let us, you know, get pierced all over? Based off of his hope.
That was a question.
Yeah. I mean, I just 17 holes in my ear, 3 in my nose, 1 in my tongue, 1 in my body.
But what about the 2? What about the 1 in my ear? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I said ear.
Okay.
I covered all tattoo of all places.
Well, I'm saying this, so I'm saying, yeah. So, yeah.
100. There's no, what do you want to call it? There's no deviation.
No.
There's no deviation with him. See, it's all one with him.
It's just simple. So, I mean, we're.
Well, I agree with you, but just to continue the conversation. So then, do you see how we then began to? We dictate from the get-go then, because we think if we'll do one without question, how can we ask him about 17?
The one that we did without question, this isn't debatable, just saying.
Okay.
All that we're doing, did he say yes? By all means, please go tattoo, I don't know, your lips. It's only
right.
One, I don't even have the ears, I don't even know. Did he say go tattoo my lips? I'm just saying, would that speak to his home? And I believe that's how we have to, I mean, we can feel real good about one little pierced ear.
Mm-hmm.
It looks cute on the little baby. Kind of,
yeah.
Something like that. We can feel really, really, really good about it.
Right.
We can give him a really cool.
I'm doing all the call for earrings next Sunday.
Everybody got to turn their earrings.
We can justify cutting our hair. What did he say?
I'm not sure.
What did he say? Yeah. I mean, it's clear. So, I mean, we can, you know, kind of feel bad sitting here like, well, he doesn't really care if I go get my ears. Like, we're supposed to.
Being a good sport. Over your hair.
And get healthy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what did he say?
And so, okay, so when you say that, are we applying that scripturally or are we applying that relationally?
Your relationship is based off scripture. Okay, let me, I won't say
Relationally,
our relationship should find its root in Scripture. How's that? I mean, other than that, what are you building this relationship? Emotion?
I mean, God is a spirit.
His
spirit lives in me.
I mean, what are we building this relationship on? What's the foundation? It's the best scripture. So the church is the only place where there is no consistent uniformity because, you know, every man listens to God for himself and moves. When he is sharing his revelation, that him that have to hear, him to feel the Lord, saying to the church, it's a corporate word, not an individual movement.
Hmm.
And we get caught up in that when we set ourselves aside from the church. Like, it's just me and him. When he set rules down for the bride, he's coming back for you. That personal to nobody. He's not coming back for you. He's coming back for his bride, the church. So you keep separating yourself from the church, and you let me know who's going to get you the deal.
No,
no,
you are.
So this type of thing can be left up to relationship, because this is a question, because the Bible clearly takes a stand on it. Because if it's just the piercings and the tats or engraven markings, cuts, whatever, everything that the scripture says, excuse me. I just want to understand, because other than that, relationship will indicate then what, according to his holiness, you know, what he allows me to do, that I can wear lipstick, you know, and Dana can't, Evangelist Dana can't. You know what I'm saying? So then I can get a piercing. And Evangelist Dana can.
Does it speak to God at all?
I'm just asking relationship, because for babes in Christ, you know, just relationship and kingdom culture. I mean, then where does it stand? Because I can say based on my relationship with God, okay, I'm not going to say he allows me to cuss, you know, but my relationship with God affords me this liberty or this freedom. Your relationship don't. So if the kingdom is made up of all of these different relationship opportunities, then how do you find this baseline?
But if your relationship affords you a liberty that offends me, you no longer have that liberty. We just don't want
to be according to you need to fix your offense.
We just don't want
your brother.
No. I mean, absolutely. But if it's a liberty that he gave me, you have this liberty to go into the tavern right there on 107th and Western. There's a man sitting at the table, and he is waiting to hear your voice. So now I'm in the bar to the man sitting at the table waiting to hear my voice, and I had Minister Pat drop me off, and she is completely offended that I had her drop me. You know, whatever. It offends her. So then where does her issue or offense come into what, you know, my liberty or what God is assigning me to do? You see what I'm saying? Because then the kingdom is then filled with these type of
scenario, situation.
Exactly, that will, and he said, you know, is there a universal?
It's your liberty. It's eating.
Do you hear that?
Talking
about things that don't do it.
Yes,
sorry.
Talking about?
It's the same
thing. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's
because we just can't pull one. This
right.
is the whole
mm-hmm.
So I think that we're we need to take it all into consideration. Other than that, we can justify. There's nothing we can't justify.
Well, that's what it seems like every. That's what it seems like. Not everyone, but that's where the conversation seems to be going. Because then, I can.
Brother.
It says who?
Offend a brother.
You mean you're making brother not the gender, but the relationship, our
Christ
connection.
I'm not
okay,
about
right. I'm not trying to be there. I really do want to understand because then if that's the case, I get it. So if that's what I'm saying, so then what? Okay.
Can I just put my opinion in? If she's taking you to the tavern, you going there to minister to someone, and it offends her. So she, unless time she can say, this offends me, and I just can't carry you. You know, take me. That's a choice that we have to take. Either we're going to be offended or we're not going to be offended. If I take it from tattooing, you know, to say smoking, someone smoking, and it offends me, I'll tell you, that offends me. You can't smoke in my car, you know. So they go, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I won't do it anymore. But we're still in a relationship as far as our friendship or So I said you should be bold enough to say, that offends me, I can't do it. I don't want to, I won't say I won't, don't want to do it, but I can do it according to my beliefs, you know.
Right, I mean.
They shouldn't be offended. Neither one should be offended. Because you're going to do what God told you.
That was my whole point of the scenario, but they are. So then where does what my liberty and my assignment afford me to do.
Well, maybe Minister Kaplan, the one that was supposed to take to the car.
Well, maybe she was, and God needed to work it through her, but because she's offended, now I'm stuck in.
Yeah,
and I know maybe
I
should just take me to a piercing. Maybe that's what I should say. And I'm sorry for you,
okay.
But okay, she takes me to get a piercing. No, because she talked about liberties, and I didn't want to. She brought
because some things we do in Christ is going to offend. That's scripture too.
So then do we
some
do
things
it?
That I'ma do in His name is gonna offend somebody else.
So do we do
so
it?
So me speaking in tongues is gonna offend somebody who don't. Now I may not necessarily speak in tongues around them, but at the same time, that's gonna offend somebody who absolutely don't. Women preaching is offensive, but God clearly called
so
women
do you do
to
it?
Preach. So women gonna stop preaching?
But I mean,
they haven't.
That scripture is applicable to what's in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And it was strictly talked about meat.
Okay.
The offense was meat. If we wanna keep within the culture, it was meat.
Oh no, I'm
food
not
offended.
About that, I'm talking about the one that says you have a liberty.
Okay.
You all chose to read the meat.
And
if you're
the
meat, it doesn't really matter.
That's all I was trying to ask. So then what Prophet was saying, but, you know, just because that really is very real. So we then, because it offends us, then we then begin to project our own personal convictions on the situation, you know, and I think that's just when it all, in my experience, what I've seen happen to all fault, you got a tattoo. Oh. You know, that offends me, but it offends me maybe because I knew I couldn't get one. You know what I mean? It can be...
Can I say something?
No. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay. First of all, the matter of offense is a sin for the saint because the Bible says you should have an unoffensive heart. It tells us to accept. God will bring the correction. We have a duty to accept and extend the love of Christ. Now, I think that the scripture also shares with us, men, you are going to offend men on my behalf. Don't worry about
right.
it. Because that's something your Father in heaven is going to handle for you. And so I think that in a lot of ways, what we're looking at are individual scenarios that have more to do with our personality and our tradition than it does the Word of God. But the response that we have has to be what the Word of God says, a non-offensive heart. So even if they speak in tongues, and I don't believe in speaking tongues, okay, I should not be offended if I am God's child, because what Christ did was make himself, and Paul even said, I become all things to all men, so that Christ will abide, so that he will be lifted up. And so even when those things that go on, that's why I say, how do we accept someone that comes to the pulpit just tatted up, all on their heads and knuckles, their face, everywhere? Okay, how do we accept, you know, what will be our response to them? And again, I believe if we accept and we have a list of things, pray for them, intercede for them, teach them, guide them. And I think one of the things that we see as the model in the New Testament is that the apostles, those that had the government of the church, the governing group of individuals that went from place to place, observing culture, observing practices, observing what was going on, they came together and they sat down and they made the comparison, if you will, to the Word of God, and they came up with a solution. And then that went through all of the church. He wrote letters, Paul did, so now we're going to do this thing this way. This is how, and in almost every letter, what it is you're going to pray, you're going to be the leader, the one that leads the way, the one that takes the blunt. You are the one. He told Peter, how dare you? Okay, what you do was offensive to them. You know, and Peter was saying, well, what they do was offensive to the ones that was coming to visit me. And he was saying, but then what does God say about that? And so Peter was rebuked by Paul. So I think if we really need to study the structure and the culture of the first church. And then I think our response, just like the woman kept following behind them, she was a fortune teller. It was allowed until she got to a place where she was offending God, if you will, or the whole situation, and then they stopped and they addressed it. They addressed it the way God wanted it addressed, and that's the leaders. That's not individuals making a decision for what they'll do and how they'll do it, but that is individuals that are planted in a house that have a pastor after the heart of God who will hear the Word of God and then communicate it to the people, and it is then the people's job to be obedient. It is the church's job in that church to teach them how as they're getting there, but accepting them for where they are. You know, and so you're saying, like, well, it's okay for you, but it's not okay for them. It may be okay for me to do something. I'm not going to do it if it offends you, because it'll cause you to stumble. Okay? So you may not know you're supposed to have an unoffended heart, but you're not there yet. So the strong bear the infirmities of the weak. Again, these are all the precepts that have to come together to respond to any practice or any situation that comes up. You got to grab all of the concepts and then examine yourself and make sure. I used to always tell them, pray, weigh it against the Word of God, pray to God, weigh it against the Word of God, and then obey what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. And as leaders, we have to, as those that are over people, not we as leaders, but the leader of the house, okay, God is going to correct or instruct and direct what they're doing. Our job is to obey.
Good conversation. Good conversation. Anybody else? Any other thoughts, insights as it relates to tattoos, piercings, offenses, forbid with tattoos? And don't be a woman with a tattoo and more than one piercing.
More than one? I thought we were supposed to have any.
Oh, it's too late now. As a mature.
There you go.
All right. Did any other topics come in, Apostle? We want to address, or we're going to next week. Unfortunately, we don't. I'm preaching absence just because I'm a daddy. So that's almost like two questions. Do we vote? Do Christians, do we vote do we vote parties, is that what it's called? Or do we vote stands based upon Christian beliefs? Or do we vote party, you know?
I'm trying to think of who the guy was who was running. I can't remember his name, but he was a Mormon. Most of his beliefs fell along building things is what I stood for. And my desire was to vote for him, but he dropped out because he didn't have enough facts. And, you know, so when I'm looking at it, I'm really trying to find out what is the belief system or what do you believe as a leader? You know, what are you standing for? Is it biblical? And he was the one who was standing most for what I believe. And so I was going to, you know, vote for him, not Obama. I vote for him. And, yeah, so that's what I said.
I'm trying to find out
what is your belief.
What is your belief? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, I thought I was muted. Doing the right thing is just not something that's popular in the earth right now. But sin very much is popular. And clearly, you know, in just seeking the Lord for how to vote, you know, he was very clear in, you know, who was going to win the White House. When Bush won, it was clear. He was clear about Bush winning before we even knew that Bush was going to win. He was clear about Obama winning. He was clear about Donald Trump winning. Now, they all had things that were according to Christian values, but they very much had some things that were not according to Christian value. Now, I believe my responsibility is to seek the Lord about who it is that he's going to put in leadership, and I'm supposed to follow that. That doesn't mean for me, I'm just talking about me, that doesn't mean that I have to vote strictly Democratic. I don't have to vote according to my party if God says I'm putting, XYZ in the White House. If I'm putting XYZ in the White House, I'm supposed to follow that. I'm not supposed to, follow, party belief or any of that. I'm supposed to follow biblically what my relationship with the Lord dictates. And that stems or crosses boundaries for me into all parts of my life, you know, not just whether I'm voting, whether I'm seeking to do a tattoo, whether I'm going to wear gym shoes or heels today, you know, it crosses boundaries, you know, for me in seeking the Lord what it is I should be doing. Now, do I always do that is a whole nother aspect of my relationship with him that's being worked out, you know, and it shouldn't be something that I even have questions about. I want to be able to just follow what he says, but I have so many questions for him about just things, you know, and sometimes I wait too late to make the final decision, you know, and I miss it. You know, there are all kinds of reasons for it, but, you know, at the end, will it all come out in the wash? Is it all going to be burnt up at the end? That's my whole question. I've been walking this walk a long time. I've been, you know, seeking him for what it is I should be doing, trying to follow what it is he says to do, and I haven't gotten it right. And you know, that's my issue, and I don't put that onto someone else because I'm not supposed to judge what someone else is doing, because Jesus spent a whole lot of time, and I'm going to stop in just a second, Jesus spent a whole lot of time doing stuff he wasn't supposed to be doing. He wasn't supposed to be talking to that non-Jewish woman. He wasn't supposed to be healing that non-Jewish person. But he did a whole lot of things that Judaism, you know, had rules against. You know, so, and then even his disciples, after he left the scene, you know, ended up doing things that they normally would not do culturally. You know, even Moses had to make cultural decisions, but were they the things that God had dictated should be done? You know, so these are all questions we have to answer individually between us and God on an individual level, and make sure that we're not placing what he tells us to do on as a label or a blanket onto someone else, because it just because it looks wrong, and they killed Jesus because it looked wrong. Was it wrong? No. God had sent him here. God had sent him to earth to die for us, and he died just because it all looked wrong to them. It wasn't according to what their values were and what had been lined up. And so I answer that question every moment of my life. I open my eyes, I'm answering that question moment by moment. That's all.
Good conversation. Amen. Any more comments?
I know what it seems like a good place to pause for this evening. Apostle KP, if you can pray for us. Amen. And still, and we'll prepare our discussions for next week so that we can be found ready and prepared. Send the kingdom principle.
So, Father God, we just come on this evening to bless your holy and your divine name, O Lord God. We thank you, O God, even for the word on tonight. We pray, be iterated to be holy. For I, O God, I am holy, O Lord God. For you are reminding us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, O Lord God, that we need to do anything or not do anything that can bring dishonor to you in any way, O Lord God. We come on tonight, God, repenting, O Lord God, for things that we may have done, even in our ignorance, O Lord God, that it may have been a reproach against you, God. We repent now in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God. And we thank you, O Lord God, for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, O Lord God, for him, O God, reconciling us to you yet again, O Lord God. We thank you and we praise you for it now in the name of Jesus Christ, God. Now, God, we just ask, O Lord God, that henceforth, O Lord God, as we go on, as we go further in our walk with you, O Lord God, we'll do things that will bring glory and honor to you and to you alone, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, O Lord God, that whatever we do in word or in deed, O Lord God, we'll do it all in the name of Jesus and for your glory. God, we thank you for tonight's conversation, O Lord God. We thank you, O God, for stirring even our thought process and our thinking, O Lord God. And now, God, we even go as we study to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing your word of truth, O Lord God. We ask now, God, in Jesus' name, that your word will be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, O God. We thank you now, God, in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we ask that you would bless us as we're on our way home, O God, to our many different faith places,
yes,
O Lord God. We thank you for keeping and for covering us, O
yes.
Lord God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And we count this prayer as done by faith in Jesus' name. It is so, and so it is. Amen, and amen, and amen. So, Pastor Christine, your topic, it has to do mainly with abortion. Trump was one who was agreeing for my, as opposed to just, you know, paying for abortion. He was trying to take that right away from women to pay for abortion.
Mm-hmm.
You want to sacrifice.
Abortion, pro-life, and the church's stance.
Mm-hmm. I can't hear you.
Abortion for next week. Abortion, pro-life. Trump supports pro-life, and the church's stand on the subject and birth control.
Remind me about that. Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Blog Talk family.
Amen. Good night.